Welcome to Equipped, a podcast by Connection Church. My name is Jordan Thigpen, and today I'm joined by Logan Cawley. Welcome to the podcast, sir.
Hey, thanks, Jordan.
Jessica Navarro and Russ DeMont. Today we're going to be talking about technology and discipleship. You could also think of it as technology in discipleship. And we will just think through how does technology hinder or help or further or distract us from our own walk with the Lord. Let's get equipped. All right, friends, how are we doing?
Long time no see.
You can't just nod on a podcast.
I was speaking.
I'm looking at all three of y'all.
I'm talking. I said,
Can't people see my head nod when they listen to this?
They maybe can hear the wind going by.
Oh, man.
Logan, how does it feel to be on your first podcast?
Fantastic.
Who says this is his first
so
podcast?
I'm so excited.
He does.
He does. No, it's good. I feel rested. Cool. It was a long weekend. We had the college retreat this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Was.
But got some good quality time with the family last night and got some good sleep. So we're here. We're here for all the things.
Yeah, I woke up, shout out to Adam Lamont, I woke up to my Apple Watch telling me that I got a sufficient amount of sleep. And I think that's the first time that, well, that's the first time my watch has told me for sure. But I, one, I don't know that I agree. Number two, I don't know that I've had that good of sleep in 8 years. So, yeah, the retreat
so
was
there's
awesome.
Hope. There's hope for all of our listeners that are currently in the stage of young kids.
If life is about setting expectations, I would say no. There is no hope. Okay. You shouldn't hope for such a thing. You should just be surprised when it happens. Then
that's fair.
Speaking of technology and discipleship, shout out for my Apple Watch.
You wear your watch to sleep?
That's what it tells me to do.
Ew.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm just. I don't know how people wear anything like on like jewelry, like watch and all that.
And
like
there's Jessica Navarro.
No. Like, how do you wear?
Yes, everyone look at your connect groups and say, what do you wear when you sleep?
No. What I'm saying is, how do you wear things on your wrists and your neck and your, like, I don't get it. Anyways, sorry, that's just, like, so bulky, too.
I will say I it was kind of a weird transition. I didn't think that I would be able to do it.
Yeah.
But it hasn't bothered me. Mm. I'm a back sleeper. I sleep on my back anyway, and so it's not.
Makes sense.
I give off the vibe of being a back sleeper. Is that what you're saying? Yeah, you look like a real literal belly sleeper.
Jeez. If none of you listening have the privilege of being friends with Jessica, this is it. This is life with Jessica Navarro.
Never quite complimented, never quite insulted. Somewhere in the middle.
No, stop. That's the way that I say, hey, we're friends.
I love it. It makes
you must be friends with a lot of people.
Makes for a great time.
So back to Logan. First podcast, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, basically no pressure. You're good. You're going to do great.
For the record, I slept great last night.
That is amazing. Well, you can go help Caroline with Charlotte, man. And you'll get a little taste, a little taste of the despair.
Mm. I wasn't gonna rub it in, but
you also slept great.
Absolutely.
I feel like you've put in the work though. Like you've got a niece. I'm sure you've put in some sleepless nights.
Help. She sleeps really good. So yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was your moment. That was your moment to suffer with those who suffer.
I mean, I feel for y'all. I'm so sorry. But
Yeah, Levi. I woke up this morning. Levi was in my bed, which is a normal occurrence. And on the way to school, I asked, Levi, why do you not sleep in this new bunk bed that mom and dad just got you? That he's had for maybe a week now. And he said, I've slept in it enough. I don't now want to sleep back with mom and dad.
That is awesome.
Wow.
I love, what a thoughtful answer.
Honestly.
That's great. That's awesome. That's funny. So does he go to one side or the other? He goes straight middle.
Straight in the middle.
Wow. Mm. Wow. If that is not evidence that children are born sinful, I don't know what is. That's the worst option.
Yeah.
I make ours go and cuddle on the side with mom. Make mom slide to the middle.
That would be a much better option.
Yep. And by make, I mean I make our kids get out of the bed.
Yeah.
You're just a better parent than me.
I think I just am too lazy to get up and do the things to get them back into their bed.
I'm such a light sleeper that, like, McLennan, I think it was McLennan, came into our bedroom at, like, oh, yeah, my watch told me at 3 in the morning. That was when it said I was awake for 10 minutes. That, like, when she got out of bed. So I have a white noise machine playing in my bedroom. She has a white noise machine playing in her bedroom. It when her feet hit the floor, I woke up.
Oh, wow.
I'm that light of a sleeper. When she opened the door to the bedroom, I was, like, just eyes wide open for sure.
Get out.
Yeah. Can't do it. But anyway, so today we're going to talk about, the retreat. Hey, y'all did an awesome job. Russ and Jess, the two people I'm making eye contact with that you can't see. Y'all did an awesome job putting that retreat together. It was really thoughtful. And it wasn't just like barely put together. Y'all had layers of excellence, of thoughtfulness, of having the ping pong table out, the cornhole boards out, the food for the students, the snacks, having people there to greet, having y'all taking it on your shoulders to do all of the hosting of everything, the giveaways, the gift bags, the graphics even, all of it was really, really well done. I could tell y'all put a lot of work into that, so thank y'all for taking time to do that. Logan, what'd you think about it? What'd you think about the retreat?
I thought it was really good. I really enjoyed Seth's session. I did help with it.
Don't think it went unnoticed that you chose him over me. Don't think for a second.
I will say, too, to give credit where credit's due, Logan and mm-hmm. Ansley Fullen both helped a lot to make the retreat happen. So I want to make sure that they also get shout-outs that they did. They sacrificed some of their time to be here outside of the hours of the retreat to really help Jess and I out.
So
super appreciative of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
That's good.
Yeah. Also, in serving, I don't always get to worship a lot. Mm-hmm. I didn't show up on Friday expecting it to be that a powerful worship moment would be my takeaway from it.
Mm-hmm.
But that was one of the things I walked away from with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was very meaningful.
Yeah.
And Jess and Bess did a fantastic job.
Mm. Thanks. Thank you.
Jess and Bess, better than the rest.
Love that. We should get that in a saying.
Yeah. Yep. That could be y'all's band name. Jess, Bess, and the rest.
It was actually Bessica, but
yeah.
I like the other one.
Yeah, yeah. You guys would be like, instead of the Dixie Chicks, like the Christian Chicks.
This is what you do. You take things and you run a little too far.
What was too far about that?
Or like just, yeah.
I don't need your comedy criticism right now. I need you to rejoice with those who are rejoicing.
I love it.
Okay. Great. Anyway, Logan was having a powerful worship experience. I like that. That's great. Yeah, somebody, shout out to Bess, I think it was Macy, was like, she heard worship, and when we got, we were serving, aka hanging out with the Connors out in the atrium, and Macy was like, who was that sang tonight? And I was like, I can't remember. Rust ingested all the planning, so I don't know. She was like, whoever it was awesome. I think it was Bess. She had incredible, incredible voice. So yeah. Shout out to Bess.
Shout out Bess.
Yes, for sure.
Bess.
I've never heard Bess actually sing other than like just vocals with everybody else. And I was in there setting up and they were running through their practice. It was like 4:30 and I heard her sing. I was like, what's going on in here? Who is that singing?
Mixture of Fergie and Jesus.
Yeah. So shout out to Bess for sure.
That's great.
Shout out to Jessica for leading us in an incredible worship moment at the end of the retreat on Friday night. I was telling somebody about that we just kind of had this moment that was not planned at all, but was super organic and was such a powerful moment of worship and prayer. So thanks to Jessica for leading us in that and really shepherding and pastoring our kids in that super intentional moment of prayer and worship.
Yeah. It was an honor.
What?
It was an honor.
It was. In case anyone missed it, Jess said it's an honor that she baby whispers into the microphone. All right. Technology and discipleship. So I think this is a good conversation. I think there are a lot of pros and cons. I think there are pros. And so let's establish what is discipleship? What does it mean to be a disciple? And then what is discipleship? And so, Logan, I'm going to put you on the spot first. When you think of what is a disciple, how would you answer that?
So immediately I'm going to think of like the word Talmud in the rabbi-Talmud relationship, or like mathetes in Greek, meaning student. Mm-hmm. And I think we don't, at least in discipleship today, we don't necessarily follow that definition one for one, but in the ways in which I'm being mentored and discipled, I am in one way or another being taught by more mature believers.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, that's bullseye, the mathetes part of it, it's part of it is student. It means student. And it gets a little fuzzier for us I think we don't think of the word believer is sometimes can feel in competition to that as a concept, right? Like to be a believer, biblically speaking, these things are not at odds, right? To be a believer is to be a disciple. To be a disciple is to be a believer. But in sort of our 21st century conception of it, it's like Jesus saved me from my sin. I believe in the finished work of Jesus. Even just the word itself doesn't import the biblical concept of I am a student of Jesus, meaning I'm trying to conform my life to Jesus, to the life pattern and teaching of Jesus, which is incredibly clear in the Great Commission, right? To like make disciples, baptize them, teach them all that I've taught you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So it's all right there. But just even in what we want somebody to go from unbeliever to believer, but in a lot of ways, we want people to go from not being a disciple to being a disciple. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of ways, we're wanting people, even within our church, that are believers to now begin to conceive of themselves as disciples. Mm-hmm. What other thoughts do y'all have about what? So if we've established them, like, what is a disciple, then what is discipleship?
To hit on Logan's point, I think about the teacher-student aspect and something that I have a lot of conversations with about is discipleship. Is if we have somebody that is doing discipleship with other people, the concept is almost now we are multiplying that person out. And so you think about, like, if Jordan is doing discipleship in a kind of a hypothetical, now Jordan is making a bunch of mini Jordans within the life of our church. And so what we're trying to do is replicate what Christ has done in our life and the things that we've begun to learn through our walk, and just help other people kind of step into that. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of discipleship for me is not only the biblical realm, but like what have I just learned about like life that I can help this mm-hmm. next person? What have I gone through? What experiences have I faced? What hardships have I had to go through that I can now begin to help them walk through what they're walking through in their season mm-hmm. of life? Mm-hmm. Uniquely, I get to do that with college kids, right? Because mm-hmm. I was once them. I was in this college ministry, and I went through the hardships and the struggles and the battles that I faced, but also the provision and the things that God led me out of. And so now I get to begin to walk through that with them and mm-hmm. help them navigate that this time of their life, which is such a cool opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think we say this a lot. Discipleship is life on life with mm-hmm. others. And I see that in like all aspects, because when you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, He is your life. And yeah. so that reflects in all aspects of your life. And mm-hmm. so when you are in discipleship with someone or others, like they see your life mm-hmm. and they see that it revolves around the Lord and all that you do. It's not just a compartmentalized thing. It's like, it's my whole life is given up for the sake of the gospel because I've tasted and seen that He is good. So as I follow Him, you're going to follow me because I'm following the Father. Mm-hmm. Like He is my rabbi. And like, I just, I can see Daniel right now talking about his rabbi. That's all he says about his rabbi. But he's my rabbi. And I'm just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
He'd just be doing that. But anyways, but it's funny. I mean, we laugh about it, but like Logan was saying, like, taking it back to like that terminology, that's what exactly what it is. And so as we walk with the Father in oneness with Him, and as we disciple others, they're just seeing us as we walk with the Lord, and yeah, we're doing exactly life on right. life. Like, I will never forget like a season of life when Jordan and Macy, when I was being discipled by Macy, and she was just like, discipleship is just life on life. Mm-hmm. And they invited me and welcomed me in their home week after week. And I don't know what she would say about that, but to me, I learned so much just from being under and watching her be a wife, be a mom, but most importantly, be a follower of Christ. And that affected every single aspect of what I watched and witnessed mm-hmm. in like your home, like yeah. just seeing you guys be husband and wife and be parents, and most importantly, follow the Lord, because yeah. in order to do that, you have to follow the Lord, you know, in order to do it well and to make disciples. And so, yeah.
And I think between the three of you guys, you've laid out some very important, but it's like a, what's the word? It's like a kaleidoscope from, mm-hmm. you see lots of different aspects and dimensions. Like that with Macy was very informal. Mm-hmm. It was proximity, mm-hmm. discipleship. Mm-hmm. Like you get to yep. see, and you as the student have to pick up on what you can.
Mm-hmm.
It's not passive.
Mm-mm.
Passive discipleship is what you receive if you're I call that like dead guy discipleship. Mm-hmm. Like you have, like, that's something we were always encouraged as seminary students, of like you need to have a dead guy whose writings that you like really follow, guy or gal,
mm-hmm.
that somebody's like, you can learn a lot in your own studenting through their writings,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
That's still not the same. That's not the life on life, right? Yep. They can't exegete my life.
Mm-hmm.
I can read their writings and I can learn from that. Then there's also the just proximity, yep. right? I'm just in proximity to a person. And then I know Jess has had formal discipleship, mm-hmm. like whether, and I would say some of like having a mentor is sort of one, like that's like a different level mm-hmm. of discipleship. But then there's just more formal mm-hmm. discipleship, and I know you've experienced both, mm-hmm. and you've done both.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like right now for me, I've got a couple of guys that I am formally meeting with, and we use the structure of experiencing God for an excuse to talk about some things. But that's just like an approach to poke around in their life in a gospel way to see what is and mm-hmm. what is not formed mm-hmm. according to the life and pattern of Jesus. Mm-hmm. So life on life is how it happens, but what we are trying to instill is the life and pattern and the teachings of Jesus mm-hmm. into a person's life.
Yeah, that's right.
We're trying to call those things into conformity. So, therefore, I think we have to be very clear-eyed of the digital component mm-hmm. of discipleship. We have to be very clear-eyed about the technological aspect of discipleship. If we lay it out kind of in the way that we have, at best, technology can only aspire to passive discipleship, right? There is no substitution for life-on-life mm-hmm. discipleship, even proximity discipleship, formal discipleship, mentorship mm-hmm. that somebody pours into your life is still essential. Mm-hmm. It can't be passed over for the fourth tier of passive discipleship. What that does is it permits solo Christianity, and it also permits it takes all aspects of the incarnation of Jesus completely out of the picture. Jesus, or God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, didn't settle for just impersonal divine communication for the purposes of salvation. God the Son put on skin and walked around among us and then died on our behalf and then rose from the dead. Mm-hmm. When Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, he's not saying write a bunch of stuff and then drop it in after you invent the printing press into all nations, right? Mm-hmm. He's not saying argue with people on Facebook until all nations believe, right? Like, there's only so much that technology can accomplish. Mm-hmm. It requires an incarnational expression of the gospel for discipleship to become complete. Mm-hmm. And so now kind of having established sort of those guardrails, what are the benefits? If you were to list off some of your top technological blessings or technological strengths, what are some things that technology has brought that has really blessed your own walk with the Lord?
I'd say podcasts.
Shout out podcasts. As you're listening to a podcast.
Commentaries. I think one that we just said, like, Got Questions, mm-hmm. gotquestions.org, like, very helpful. Like,
talk about them. Go back. Podcasts, shout out ones that you really love. Like, what do you love about them? Why is that an aspect of technology that, like, talk about it. Help people see or understand, like, how each of those mediums, because they're all different, mm-hmm. How has that been a blessing to your walk with the Lord?
Yeah, I think I used to not be a podcast person. I just like music only. But then I started like listening. I think it was like in CLP or something that really like changed my perspective on things. And like as a believer, like I want to constantly be learning. I want to be teachable. And so for me, a few of my favorite podcasts are, if you know me, you know what I'm about to say is Becoming Something. And also, like, We're the Perrys, and I do love Buck's podcast. Shout out, Buck. But all of these are different, but, like, the first one that I started listening to was for sure Becoming Something, because I am I'm a young adult, early 20s, 30s, and, like, it's talking through biblically, like, situations and the seasons of life that we are in, and, like, but it's, like, practical things, but going back to Scripture. And I think for me, it just really, like, they also say things that people are afraid to say, and I like to listen to and hear, like, their perspective on stuff. And then also, like, it's just helpful to listen to. I love listening to Jackie Hill Perry and Preston Perry and just listening to their perspective on things, also, like, their knowledge of things as well. And, like, listening to them through that and the things that they come up with. And I feel like, too, a lot of times the topics that they talk about, people are scared to talk about, but they will take head on. And then as well as with Buck and just listening to, like, discipleship, like hearing his point of view on things and learning from him. And yeah, I think, like, there's just so much in that, honestly.
Yeah.
And
each of those kind of has sort of a different, different flavor, similar purpose, like formation of discipleship.
Yep.
Buck's Authentic Discipleship podcast, I super enjoy. He's coming on, April 29th when we have the all staff.
Let's go.
And we're going to spend the rest of the afternoon recording some episodes.
Sweet.
To kind of get some banked up for him.
Fun.
Yep.
I think for me, Jess said this a couple of times. She said perspective, point of view. And I think about, like, podcasts, the ones I do enjoy listening to, sometimes can get me out of my own perspective or out of my own point of view, where sometimes I need to be pulled out of that because, you know, I'm not always right.
Yeah.
I'm not always have – sometimes I can begin to get clouded. And so just having that challenge by people that I trust as being, you know, biblically authentic helps me. And two, there's a few times a year where I travel to Kentucky or to Florida for, like, a fishing trip or hunting trip, and I'm in the vehicle for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 hours. And, like, that is when I love to turn on a good set of podcasts or listen to some sermons. And so when you said the technology aspect, that's the first thing that came to my mind is those instances where I can still be poured into, still kind of have some challenge, still have some discipleship while I'm 9 hours in the car.
Yeah.
It's not like I guess I could read my Bible going down the road, but that probably wouldn't be the wisest thing I ever did. But me, like, that is the time where I really use those. I'm not a super, like, podcast daily listener, but there are times where I listen to 9 hours of them, you know, and I always am so thankful for that when those times do come around.
I think that's a universal point in this discussion. Technology allows us to hear other perspectives and point of view. And some of it allows us to get outside of our own echo chambers, which is, I think, a big need, especially evangelicalism can turn into a little bit of an echo chamber where we don't see our own blind spots. We don't hear how we come across. Mm-hmm. And so whether it is a Christian podcast like Becoming Something or the one with the Perrys.
With the Perrys.
Authentic Discipleship or whatever it is, like, I like to also hear things. So, you know, don't judge me. But I like to listen to Joe Rogan because I get to hear how do other people thinking and communicating perceive Christianity? How do we come across? How do we sound in the ears of an unbeliever? I think that's valuable.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
But that's in fueling. Now, there's times that Rogan can have some folks on that will absolutely challenge your own faith of, like, all the stuff with aliens and all these different things. Not to mention that there's many things that are on there that are just straight up profane. That it may, like, I have to keep a close watch on, like, how is this beginning to sort of, you know, shape me? But anyway, so that's just one aspect of perspective and point of view that to Jess and Russ's point, I do think is good. So Jess rattled off some podcasts. Russ, Jess, you also said commentaries, and there's another aspect that you mentioned too. I want to come back to commentaries, but Russ opened the door for sermons. That's another thing that technology allows. Is I was thinking about this the other day of, like, the church was poised really well in the technological revolution of we have been speaking into mics for a really long time. And so focusing on in an articulate, polished way, in a really what it comes down to, in a digestible way, that has been the work of preaching for 2,000 plus years of can we communicate in such a way that both moves the heart of the person and also fuels the mind of the person, plus mobilizes the hands of the person? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad. Mm-hmm. And technology gives us access to more perspective and point of view. Mm-hmm. What else? What are some other technology components that come to mind? Anything?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of biblical training.
Yeah.
That's, I think, in the same vein as podcasts.
You mean biblicaltraining.com?
Yeah.
Like specifically, not just the theory trained about the Bible, but the website, biblical training.
Yeah. The lectures on there have been very useful for me. And in thinking about that and podcasts, there was something Russ and Jessica both kind of touched on. I'm in college discipling two other guys who are also in college. So there's times I feel like I don't have a lot of experience or wisdom to share with them when they might need it. And I've been blessed with Chris Miller, who's lived more life than I have.
Yeah.
And he's got a lot of experience and wisdom to speak out of. But having podcasts and ways to get out of my own head and learn from other people who are older, wiser, more knowledgeable, that's very helpful for me in discipleship personally.
Graham, so it gives us different perspective and point of view, but it also gives us access to wisdom that we wouldn't otherwise naturally have. That's a great benefit of technology. Any particular favorite podcasts so you can go to biblical training. Is it .org or .com?
I think it's .org.
Biblicaltraining.org. If that doesn't work, biblicaltraining.com. I think it's .org as well, but it's really good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's like everything from how do I lead a small group to how do I share my faith to like what is hermeneutics and it's all you can get.
Anything.
You can get, I think, probably like 75% of a seminary's worth of education from Got Questions, but also biblicaltraining.org, whichever one it is. So, Logan, any particular favorite resources?
I really like Becoming Something. Mm-hmm. I've also listened to a lot of the BEMA podcast.
Mm-hmm.
That's been huge. It's added a lot of color into my reading of the Bible.
Just for all of our listeners, Logan did not just say the Bama podcast. It's not about Alabama football or sports.
Not at all.
It is Bama, B-E-M-A, Bama, Bama podcast. Sorry, go ahead, Logan.
Yeah, it's added a lot of color
Roll
to
tight.
My reading.
Ew.
What's up?
I'm just kidding.
Oh, man.
It's added a lot of color, too. Sorry.
Your
first podcast, I'm just getting all the difficult stuff out of the way.
Yeah. It's made me feel more comfortable in navigating the scripture, kind of knowing what I'm getting into.
Describe it. Like, what specifically does BEMA focus on? Like, what all is, like, how would that help somebody as a disciple? Like, what is unique about it in comparison to Becoming Something or Equipped or whatever it might be?
It offers a very Jewish perspective on the Bible, and since the Bible was primarily written by Jews, I think that's a very necessary perspective to have. There's a lot of elements that get lost, and I think on Saturday, Seth made a point like this. If a terebinth tree gets mentioned, to me that has no significance because I don't know if I've ever seen a terebinth tree, but in the context of that verse and that chapter, that could be a very specific and powerful image to illustrate that point. And session by session, they break it up differently. A big part of the first session was just a comprehensive breakdown of Genesis. Like, what does this genealogy, including two women in it, say about the character of Abraham? Whereas if I'm reading that, I'm just skipping through it because, all right, whatever. Where's Noah? Where does other stuff start happening? They offered a big breakdown of the Gospel of Matthew, really digging into, again, the Jewish aspects of that and really developing the overarching theme of the Bible and how it doesn't, none of it exists in a vacuum.
Yep.
I think that's an idea we try to develop within the church, but it's tough to present that clearly, I think.
So this is really good, going back to wisdom, perspective, and point of view. I need to go listen to Bama because I have a contrary theory. I think people overplay the Jewishness of the New Testament and the Old Testament. I think they underplay the nature of it being an ancient Near Eastern document. And so from one of my favorite podcasts is The Naked Bible. It's by a guy named Michael Heiser, who has since passed, and he helps make sense. He has a statement. He says, if it's weird, that means it's important. And there's stuff that's in there that's weird.
Yeah.
And so, but the text does a good job of answering and helping you make sense of that, but interpreting it not according to a Jewish tradition. I think that's a lot of what Jesus kind of busts up in the New Testament, is like, you guys have missed the entire concept of a Messiah. You guys have intentionally downplayed through your tradition the Messiah that I'm going to hold you accountable that you should have been anticipating. And the events that are happening in the ancient Near Eastern culture, drawing out what's happening there in the text. For example, Genesis 1 through 11 is, or and it's somewhere in there. Genesis 1 through 11, Genesis 1 through 12 is added later during the Babylonian captivity, and so it wasn't. We have this concept of, well, if it was written, well, chapter one had to be written before chapter, but that's a whole misunderstanding because the Bible wasn't written in chapters. It was a document that was theologically compiled over an extended period of time. And the people of God, remembering the promises of God, added Genesis 1 through 12 later while they're in captivity. This is after the prophets have gone quiet. And they've added that because in captivity, there is a Mesopotamian misunderstanding about who is the creator God and what happened with that whole flood thing and what led to all the sinful brokenness. So the Jewish people took time to write down and added it to the beginning portion of the story of Genesis. So now how is Moses still the author of the first five books of the Bible, and this was written in captivity? It comes back to the fact that the book is inspired by the Holy Spirit. That's an example of like why it's important that even the things that are some of the most important theology in our Old Testament of Genesis 1 through 12, it is not a linear history. It is an ancient Near Eastern apologetic, that there is not some this God and that God and this God and that God. These are the events as they've unfolded for the purposes of salvation from Yahweh. So that's that. All of that stuff that I'm unpacking, that stuff that Michael Heiser unpacks, that it would be good for me to hear sort of a different opinion on, because I've wondered before, like, how would somebody argue against Michael on this? How would somebody like think differently about this? And Bama sounds like it might think a little differently on that. And plus, we have a dear, our dear rabbi thinks very highly of this podcast, and so. I will always defer to our dear rabbi. So those are some podcasts, sermons. Sitting in my office, I have a lot of commentaries that, those have been very precious to me of doing the work of preaching, that commentaries have really helped me in the sermon writing process. Having some resources, some collective wisdom from people that can help me discern the deeper matters of digging into the Bible. And even just, I mean, a lot of these I had before I was ever a preacher, and so I just care about understanding the Bible in that regard. But so those are a few technological things that have been a blessing. Anything else?
One other thing I thought about as, you know, reading a book right now about how to be a good communicator from the pulpit. And I think about like being able to watch sermons and see how other pastors communicate, how they carry themselves on stage. Hmm. What I like about the way this pastor preaches this particular message and this one here. And, you know, it's not like I could travel every single day of the week to try to go find somebody to see in person. Obviously, I get to watch a sermon hmm. preached on Sunday and on Wednesday, but also having access to other pastors who I regard highly and get to watch them preach a message and then begin to see like what about that is appealing? What about that is confusing? What about that is distracting? And begin mm-hmm. to kind of try to help train myself to be the communicator that I aspire to be on stage.
Mm-hmm.
I've enjoyed, you know, that part of technology.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think too, YouTube. That's another thing that technologically has been a lot. I've learned a lot, but there's also dangers, mm-hmm. right? There's things you have. YouTube to me is like where biblical training, once you get to that website, everything on there I feel confident about, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Or same thing with Bema, or same thing with the Naked Bible. Like those things, once you're on the page, mm-hmm. you feel good about it. But mm-hmm. YouTube, you don't know what you're gonna wind, where you're gonna wind up at.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
That takes an extremely high level of discerning of figuring out what's good, what's not good.
Mm-hmm.
So we were somewhere one time. I'm hesitant to even say this because it's not gonna wind up being so nondescript that it's not helpful. We were somewhere one time and my kids were with me and there's preaching on the TV and it was some of the most like prosperity gospel craziness mm-hmm. that you could ever imagine. And my kids are just staring at it mm-hmm. and they're just listening and soaking in. People like falling out on the floor
mm-hmm.
and they've got like signs waiting for this quote unquote apostle to come and bless them and like just being quote unquote healed on the spot. And I believe that people are miraculously mm-hmm. healed. I mm-hmm. believe that the Spirit still leads people to even speak in tongues mm-hmm. or to break out in a way that we can't even wrap our heads around.
Mm-hmm.
But what this dude was doing was different. And mm-hmm. It's all through YouTube.
Yeah.
And that's the part where you just don't know what you're going to get into. But anyway, so let's get into, if you guys were giving people caution, what are the dangers? What are the dangers of technology and discipleship?
I think exactly what you just said is anything that you're going to look at on YouTube, anything that you're going to listen to in a podcast, anything that you're going to read online has to be filtered back through Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And seen through the eyes of, does this line up with what we know to be biblical? Or is this a polluted gospel? Is this a partially false gospel that is could be somewhat true, but now has some red flags of like, this doesn't really line up with the teachings of Jesus or, mm-hmm. you know, what we know to be biblically accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And be super discerning because it can be easy to be deceived with some of that stuff. Mm-hmm.
I think also too, being very aware that to not allow it to take the place replacement of your time with the Lord.
For sure.
Mm. I know for me, like it was a few years ago. I remember I was hit with it. I think a lot of times it's so easy for us to feel godly things in replacement with God. So like I was spending a lot of time with community. I was spending a lot of time listening to podcasts and like all these things, like honestly through technology. And the Lord hit me with, you've been spending way more time with these things that are gifts rather than the giver,
rather than me.
Great.
And I was just like hit and wrecked in the moment. And I was just like, Lord, like, I'm sorry, because I've truly replaced my time in the secret place with other things and things that are not bad and unwholesome, but it just wasn't the Lord.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I think a lot of times just be aware of that and know that like it happens. It's very easy to be distracted and to fill that time that is meant and intended with the Lord with things that are gifts from the Lord.
Exactly. I mean, That's, I know for myself, like, if I'm going to gravitate in the direction, it's going to gravitate in the direction of the life of my mind. Mm-hmm. But education is a poor substitute for transformation. Mm-hmm. And we don't just need to learn more about the Bible. We need to be transformed by the God of the Bible. Yeah. And that's something for me that I have to keep a close watch on, because I'll start drifting in the direction of, like, man, I'm tired. Let me turn on a sermon. Mm-hmm. But it's still just something to entertain me.
Yeah.
Let me turn on a podcast. Let me turn on a YouTube video. Yeah. But it's still, at a heart level, it's to entertain me. But it drowns out what it costs me. The danger is that it costs me the quiet voice of the Lord.
Yeah.
And he's not going to compete with the noise of a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
So that's one of the dangers. What other dangers can y'all think of with technology and discipleship?
I think in having these resources available, I feel like sometimes I want to use them as a crutch instead of actually learning the lessons, engaging with the word, and having those internalized to where I am able to in turn teach the guys I'm discipling well.
Right.
I thought about this past Thursday, I brought up the word sarx in context, and on BillMounts.com, it's a Greek word. It means flesh, body, the soft tissue of a creature. And I was able to speak about that in context and help them understand a point that we were talking about. And as I talked about earlier, add more color to our discussion and reading.
Yep.
But in the time it took me to say, hang on, let me look this up, let me find this. If that's the first time I've talked about that or worked that into a discussion, that might be okay. But if I continue to use Bema as a crutch or use these websites as a crutch instead of deeply working it into my heart and mind, it's not going to be as effective and it might feel contrived.
Yeah.
Right. It's interesting. It's very thoughtful. I would say, to be an encouragement to you, Logan, the fact that you're already taking the transformation you've experienced in your heart and the things you're learning in your head and deploying it by making disciples, that's a hands activity. Mm-hmm. That's the thing you're doing out of obedience to the Great Commission. You're already protected in your discipleship because you're already living out, like, wherever things are now. If you feel like, I'm kind of feeling my way through the dark here, I don't know exactly what to do, like, that learning curve is going to be so short that the amount of fruitfulness and potential that you have because you're already being obedient to the central command of the New Testament is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's Bema, whether it's BillMounts.com, whether it's whatever it might be, I think God is still going to bless your effort in that because it's directed in the right towards the right thing. That's where, like, people that have super strong opinions about biblical teaching without relationship with biblical people give me the heebie-jeebies. They give me serious pause of, like, you're not in relationship with people, you're not being obedient to the Great Commission, and you want to argue with me about soteriology? Get out of my face. But going back to something Logan is saying, though, like, there is a blessing on this technological side, whether it's BillMounts.com or there's a resource I really like to use called Bible Hub. It's an app on my phone. Whenever, like, I get to a passage, like, I actually have it right here. In Genesis 41, Joseph is in prison, and you've got the baker and the cupbearer, and he's interpreting their dreams. Genesis 41 might be the scene with Pharaoh. He may be interpreting the dream for Pharaoh. But anyway, he says, I can interpret your dream. Oh, he's talking to Pharaoh. I see it there. I can just pull up my app. I can look at the interlinear portion, and I can see word by word what word is translated for what. And just, I wonder what he's saying. If he says Yahweh, will translate it, or if he's saying, he says Elohim. And so there are many moments in where I wonder what that word is, because those things mean different things. And so Bible Hub, both as a Bible app to just read the Bible, but also some of the deep dive tools like the interlinear, the lexicons, the commentaries, the different things. That's a free, right on your phone app resource that is helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So going back to some of the dangers, Jess, Russ, any other dangers come to mind of technology?
I feel like we kind of hit the ones that come to my mind is not using it as a crutch. And I think there's a lot of freedom that we can have. And you did a really good job of kind of describing that freedom for Logan. But when I think about using it as a crutch, more so I'm thinking about what Jess said of like replacing my time in the calm and the quiet with something that is entertaining or more loud, instead of just being willing to sit there in the calm and the quiet and listen for the still voice of God. And that, you know, we can all be guilty of doing that, of wanting something that kind of fires us up or gives us some emotional feeling. When, like, I did some exercises this week with people, and it's hard to sit in the calm and the quiet and like press into that. It's a lot easier to listen to some pastor that gives us some great message and we feel some emotional response to that.
So I had a mentor one time that he used the metaphor of the Bible is our diet. Commentaries, podcasts, YouTube videos, they are supplements. And if you think about somebody living off of supplements, like if all I did was drink branched chain amino acids, whey protein, you know, AG1, and took a multivitamin, like maybe for a meal, maybe two, things are going to get real ugly in my belly after substituting those things
for sure.
Maybe you can. I think this is how I believe God the Father talks. I think God the Father understands our weaknesses, and He has designed our faith to free us from this like performance-driven relationship to earn salvation from the Father. But He's purchased it for us and freely has given it to us. But the Father corrects the one that He loves. He disciplines the one that He cares for. And so I think that, like, if we wake up after a busy weekend, like of the college retreat, and we woke up this morning and our quiet time wasn't 10 out of 10, I don't even think that even crossed His Father's mind. I think He's like, I know my child's weak. I know my child's tired, and I'm proud. I'm proud of him. I'm proud of her. Thank you for pouring out. Thank you for just showing up. Like this morning, I just walked around the parking lot, and I just imagined going on a walk with my dad. And I didn't pray the greatest prayers that I've ever prayed, but it was still, and I didn't hear anything specific necessarily from God the Father, but it was just with Him. And I've grown to really value that time, but I can't get that time from a podcast. I can't get that time from a commentary or from a book. And so, and a book, a commentary, look, that app that I just described, it used to be one book. I'm looking for it on my shelf. It's behind me somewhere. It's big, it's bulky, it's kind of unwieldy. Where is it? It's somewhere. It's a massive, oh, it's right up there. It's that gray one right here. That's now all been digitized. And so instead of me having to pull this absolute massive tiny print book off the shelf, it's all stored for us on our phone. That's a huge blessing.
For sure.
That still is not me hearing the clear voice of the Lord. Right? I still get to dig in and hear His previously revealed will in the Scriptures. And that's, that's the primary place that the Spirit speaks to me is from His Word. But it's not the same thing. You can pick up your Bible and choose to distract yourself with learning the stories at the expense of knowing the Father. And so it just takes a lot, even in that, even picking up the physical imprint version of our Bible, we still have to be discerning about the motives of our heart. So we still have to be discerning of what's taking place. And that's the same. That's the same principle for a podcast, a YouTube, even worship music.
Yes.
Even having access to whatever our favorite worship band. Shout out to Chase Buchanan Music.
Yeah.
That's the things that we have to. We just have to be mindful. We have to be on guard. So there's some of the dangers. There's some of our favorite resources. There's some of the blessings of technology in discipleship. It's not a replacement for life on life, personal discipleship. But there's good stuff. Mm-hmm. Like there's so many things that we have access to, both preaching, conferences, singing, worship, books. All of those things, those are great supplements to help fuel our discipleship. Mm-hmm. And so any last thoughts, any concluding thoughts? Oh, back to my mentor. One thing I didn't say. All of that happened over the phone. So that wasn't a permanent discipleship. Yeah. It wasn't a life-on-life discipleship, but it was closer to life-on-life because I was able to pick up the phone talk to him.
Yeah.
There is some benefit. Can you imagine how many phone calls the Apostle Paul would have made a day? Corinth, what are y'all doing?
Literally.
What's happening over there? Galatia, having started in the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Like, did you read the letter? Like, can you imagine how many phone calls he would have sent or would have made?
Texting SOS from prison.
Seriously, help. Bring my cloak. I'm freezing. Festus sucks.
Something you said in all seriousness that really reminded me of just time this morning in a study that I was doing, but you said the terms that you used was the Father, and I love that because I think a lot of times we forget how personal the Lord is and that He is our Father, and we see Him more as like the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is that, absolutely, but He's also personal to us. Mm-hmm. We talk about having a relationship with the Lord. Well, in order to have a relationship with someone, you have to be in close connection to them.
Yeah.
And in close connection is through the Word, through prayer, like in Him. Like, He is personal. And so I think a lot of times, like, don't forget that aspect of the Lord. He is your Father. He does care for you. He does want to, in order to grow a relationship, you have to have personal time with Him.
Yeah.
One-on-one with the Father, with the Word, in prayer.
Yeah.
So strip it all down.
Period.
To that. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Period. Love that. That's a great spot for us to end. Logan, thanks for being on today.
Yeah.
Of course.
I loved everything you had to say. That was really good, really valuable perspective from someone that's in college, making disciples, that's a technology native person, right? Like, you've never not been in a technologically robust society. In the last podcast, me, Brandon, and Jess were joking about going to movie gallery and getting VHS tapes. So,
and Video Warehouse.
Yeah. Hey, buddy.
What's a VHS tape?
Oh, shut up.
Be quiet. I literally just looked at you.
Well, thank y'all for listening again to another episode of Equipped. We will see you guys next time.